missionary that I'm speaking of traveled the longest distance to the field. He left behind his only family. He left behind a better place, a better position. He experienced the greatest rejection any missionary has ever known and made the greatest sacrifice any missionary has made. In the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John, four times, God tells us the story of Jesus and how that he left heaven and came to this earth. When we start here in Matthew chapter 4, in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to look with me at verses 23 through 25 in Matthew 4. Let me read those verses. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Those are his activities, or at least some of his activities, some of the things that he was doing. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. When you read chapters 5, 6, and 7, we hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he shares what we call the Sermon on the Mount. When we come over to chapter 8, after that great sermon, we find multitudes once again. Look at verse 1 with me in chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes. Now, I don't know how many make up a multitude. I could guess. We could come up with a number. But there were great multitudes, not just a multitude, but multitudes, great multitudes that were following him from various parts at that point. When you continue reading in chapter 8, you find Jesus performing six miracles. When we come into chapter 9, we find him performing five more miracles. And then we come to chapter 9 and verse 35, and this is our text for the morning. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now this sounds familiar because it's almost word for word as to what we read there in chapter 4. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving your son. Thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for dying for the sins of the whole world. Thank you, Jesus, that we can go into all the world and preach the good news. And anyone and everyone that is willing can be born again. Thank you for making a way for people to get saved. Help us now, God, we who are saved, to tell others, to share this good news with the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the midst of a very busy ministry. I mean, you saw what we read but in the midst of a very, very busy ministry. We're looking here in these verses, 35 through 38, just one incident in the life of this greatest missionary. And we're going to see three things that happened. Number one, he saw the multitudes. There's your vision. He saw the multitudes. Number two, he was moved with compassion. There's your involvement. Amen. And number three, he spoke to his disciples, and you'll see the burden as he speaks to the disciples in this message. So let's look first of all at the fact that he saw the multitudes. Look with me in verse 36 and the first part. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Now I'm going to suggest something. I'm not being dogmatic, and you may differ with me on this, but I am going to make a suggestion to you that in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 23, 4, and 5, we read about the multitudes that have come from different directions are following Jesus. When we get to chapter 8, we're seeing the multitudes again. When we get to chapter 9 and we read into the passage, he sees the multitudes again. But I think when we get to chapter 9, now remember, Jesus is God, knows everything, but Jesus is also a man. And when we get to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says, but things are interrupted. He's very busy about preaching and teaching and healing and all the activity that's going on. But when he saw the multitudes, I think Jesus saw them. They've been following him. They've been listening to him. I think Jesus saw them this day a little bit different than maybe he had seen them in the days before. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, you know it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need a vision. We need to see the people. Brother Aaron shared with us last night from John 4, lift up your heads, look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. When I got started, we didn't have video presentations. We had slide presentations. And there was some advantage to that, believe it or not. But we had slide presentations. Why would a missionary come in and show slides? Or why would a missionary come in and show a video presentation? Because he wants you, the people that haven't been able to go there, that haven't yet gone there, he wants you to be able to see what he has seen and what God would have you to see. So there's a purpose in that. When I went to Uganda initially, big airlines didn't fly into Nairobi because of all that had happened with the Idi Amin. So I had to fly into, I had to fly into Nairobi, and then I took a train to the border of Uganda and spent the night. And then I would get on a little van and so on and go through all of that. But I got to Uganda, and a man, I got to shorten the story. I got to Masindi. I rented a house for my family and I. I came back to Kampala. I got on a little van. And I'm telling you, the brakes were so bad. I mean, it was metal to metal, okay? And I'm thinking, we're going to have a wreck. And finally they pulled into this place and they put us on another little van. And the door, I was sitting right by the door and the door was kind of open. And I know you think it's always hot in Africa, but it was cold and the cold air was coming in. And they didn't have a CD, they had a cassette. And it had the same music and it was rotten music and they were playing it over and over. And I must have heard that cassette probably 25 to 30 times. And I thought to myself, I'd rented a house and was going to bring my family, but I thought to myself, if I can get off of this van and get out of this country, I'm leaving and I'm never coming back. That was my spirit. I mean it. That was me. That was the flesh. But that was Tony Stark. And so I saw the hotel where I had stayed at, and I told them to stop and let me out. I got out. It was the middle of the night. I ran up to that hotel with my suitcase and my camera, and I got a room and got up in the room, and I got... they didn't have a shower. They had a tub, and I got hot water. I got in there, and then I got into the bed, and I went to sleep. And I got up the next morning. I still had that spirit. I'm leaving here, and I'm never coming back. And I walked over to the window, and I pulled the curtain back from the window, and I saw the people down there. And I'm telling you, my whole spirit changed when I saw those people. When Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. If you and I will lift up our eyes and look on the fields, what will we see? We'll see people. 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 They're everywhere. Not just right here in Moore, Oklahoma. They're all over the USA. They're all over the world. And what will we see? Some of them are dying. 55 million per year. Yes. You know the big question. What's the question we always ask or think about when somebody dies? Were they saved? Right. Did they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Well, they're dying. And then... they're waiting. They're waiting. They may not know it, but they're waiting for somebody to come and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ so that they can be born again. I'm in the pickup going down a gravel road. Somebody's in the pickup with me, and there's a man standing on the side of the road, and he's going like this. He's trying to stop me. And so I stop the pickup and I roll the window down. You keep the windows up because the dust is so bad, but I roll the window down and he's standing there and he says, "I just wanted to tell you that I picked up one of those pieces of paper you've been dropping out of the pickup and I got saved. I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." See, there are people that if they just had the truth, they would receive the truth. They're waiting. They may not realize it, but they're waiting for somebody to come and tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are dying, as you see. People are dying and people are waiting. And praise God, some of them are receiving the good news. And they're receiving the good news because somebody cared enough, somebody's heart was moved with compassion, and they left what they were doing and went to another part of the world to give them the good news that Jesus saves. Number one, He saw the multitudes. Jesus, this great missionary, greatest missionary. Number two, He was moved with compassion. There again in 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Moved with compassion. I shared with you last night about this matter of compassion. And if we pick just one word to summarize the meaning of compassion, it's pity. He saw their need. He saw they had a need. And seeing that need, his heart, Jesus' heart, was moved with compassion. There's a story that illustrates this so well. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. If there is a passage in the Bible that is just clearly reveals missions, it's right here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Follow with me as I read. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." So here's this man that's been attacked. He's been, his clothing taken, everything. He's left half dead. He's right there. Here comes the priest. He walks by and he sees him there. He looks upon him and he just keeps on going. Here comes the Levite coming down and he sees him. He sees his situation, just keeps on going. Now, these are both Jews. These are both religious, the leaders of the Jews. They saw it as it really was, but they just kept on going. Look at the next verse. And likewise, no, verse 33. But again, there's an interruption. Things are going to change now. But a certain Samaritan, a half-breed Jew, half Gentile, rejected by the Jews. They wouldn't even go through. They'll go around Samaria to avoid even having contact with the Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Remember, have compassion making a difference. And his compassion is going to make a difference in this man's life. When he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. There's the response that comes with the compassion that has come. The response of compassion and then the response of the compassion. Verse 35, it doesn't end there. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Isn't that missions?
Yes, sir.
We do what we can, and we can't all do the same thing. But we do what we can in light of the commands that Jesus has given to us, the church. We do what we can, and then we help others do what we can't. That's where the missionary comes in. That's why Brother Aaron and his family are here today. Brother Tim and his wife are here today. Pastor asked them to come. That's why you've got, I thought it was 51 according to the website. Pastor said it's 56. I didn't count them, but you've got 56 missionaries because you are helping them do what you can't do. You're here. God has you here. God has you for a purpose. He may call you and send you. That's what's happened. That's what happened to me. I was pastoring, enjoying it. No idea of ever leaving the ministry God had given me. But then one day, I saw the multitudes in Liberia. and Togo and Senegal, and God put it in my heart. He said, go, and I went. Compassion, compassion, compassion in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That same compassion can be in you and in me through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. So number one, as we look at this incident in the life of the Lord Jesus, number one, he saw the multitudes. Number two, he was moved with compassion. And let me give you an illustration. Special Olympics, handicapped people, handicapped in different ways. And this is true story, handicapped Olympics, and they had had event after event after event after event. And now people are lined up. They're going to race from this point to that point with their handicap and see who can get there the fastest and be number one, get the blue ribbon. So with their different handicaps, they start moving out. And this one lady is up ahead. And it looks like for sure she's going to win this particular event. And all of a sudden, she trips. And she falls to the ground. And she can't get up. And the person that's in second place and going to pass her and now win the event stops and reaches down and helps her get up so she can continue the race. That's compassion. That's seeing someone with a need of whatever kind and it touching your heart, and the heart of compassion then moves you. He stopped, even though he's not going to win the race now. He stopped. Sometimes having compassion will cost you. Cost that man that the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, but that Samaritan, that outcast, he stopped and he did what he could. And then he helped others do what he couldn't. And that's what missions is all about. Well, number three, he spoke to his disciples in verses 37 and 38. And he's going to tell them three things. Now, put it all together. I've divided it, but put it all back together. He sees the multitudes. His heart is moved with compassion. And with that compassion, seeing that need, he's going to turn now to his disciples. He's not going to do anything even yet. He's going to turn to his disciples and he's going to tell them three things. He says, number one, the harvest truly is plenteous. For us to recognize that the harvest truly is plenteous, sometimes we have to look and go beyond where we are. In 1959, as an 11-year-old boy, my mom and dad came out of the cotton fields of Arkansas, and we moved to Illinois when I was 2 years old. We went back to Arkansas. Dad thought he was going to get a job, wanted to move back to Arkansas. That was dream of mom and dad, and wanted to get a job and us move back to Arkansas. Didn't get the job, and so we had to go back to the cotton fields. And I can remember, as an 11-year-old boy, we would get excited because we thought we were getting to the end of the cotton field. In other words, we'd gotten to the rows that were the end of that field. But you know what? The farmer then had another field. Let's just go down the road here a little ways, and here would be another field, and you could see the cotton there, and it was white already under harvest. All we had to do, and I'm telling you now, even though it may look like the harvest is not, if we'll just look beyond, God's got the places where the harvest truly is plenteous. So as he's talking to his disciples, he's going to share with them things here. And by the way, we're not going to take the time to read it, but when you read over Mark chapter 1 where Jesus has just healed and had such a great meeting, I mean everybody has come out and he sleeps that night. The next morning he gets up and he goes out and he's praying and the disciples come to him and they say, Master, the people are waiting for you. And he says, we've got to go on to the next towns. They'd heard the truth. And number two, there were people left behind that were already born again. They can reach the multitudes right there in that place. And so what he went on to the next town and the next town, and he went to all of the towns there. We haven't gone to all the world yet. We need to go to all the world. He said, go into all the world. He said, every nation. There are nations still waiting for those who know the truth, whether they're from America, whether they're from Asia, whether they're from Africa. One of our graduates went to Australia on his own. I had nothing to do with it. Went to Australia and he had planted two churches when I talked to him 10 years ago. Doesn't matter. Christians, it's been given to us as Christians. So he says, number one, the harvest truly is plenteous. He says, but the laborers are few. Paul said to the Corinthians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I don't know how all of it's going to take place. But someday we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for our sins. He took care of our sins already. I don't have to worry about the sin question. That's already done. His blood was shed. His body was broken. He paid for my sins. That was taken care of when I was born again. But there will be rewards for our service. We labor and labor and labor. I want to hear him say, well done. Well done, Tony. Oh, I used to get excited when my daddy would give me something to do, whether it was raking the leaves or cutting the weeds or picking up the little rocks in the yard. He'd leave me with something to do, and he'd come home at the end of the day, and he'd look it over and say, you did a good job, son. Isn't that what you want to hear? Right. Well, if we're going to hear that, we've got to labor. And we labor because our heart is full of compassion. We see people with needs, heart full of compassion. We labor. The harvest truly is plenteous. That's what he told them. He said, but the laborers are few. And here comes, well, what do we do, Lord? Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now you can read Romans 10. I'm not going to read it, 13 through 15, but they've got to be sent. They've got to be sent. Yes. Amen. And he's saying, pray. Pray. Here's the Son saying, pray. We pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Question for you. Who do you think was praying when God called William Carey? All right, maybe you don't know that name. Who do you think was praying when God called Hudson Taylor? I don't know, but somebody must have been praying because that's what Jesus said to do. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray. Pray you the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. I wonder who was praying when Adoniram Judson was called. My favorite C.T. Studd went to China And there in China, his daddy dies and he gets so much. His daddy was a rich man. And he gives it away. He gives it away. Here's a missionary on the field. He gives it away. Saves out just enough to give to the woman who he knows someday is going to get married. He meets that woman and they get married there in China. And she says, let's give the rest of it away. And they leave there and they go on to India. Then they come back to England. And he goes to Africa. No one will encourage him, but he goes anyway. He's got a broken body. Democratic Republic of Congo today. But that's where he went. He passed through Masindi, where I ministered for a number of years. He passed through Masindi on his way there. My favorite mission. I wonder who was praying when God said to C.T. Studd, leave the sports, leave England, and go to China. Oh, I'm telling you, we have an opportunity to be a part of affecting the world as we simply listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Moved, saw the multitudes, moved with compassion, spoke to the disciples. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Yes. I read a story about a pastor who took a missions trip to Hong Kong. He met some missionaries there, and they took him around and showed him all, let him meet the people, let him go into the churches that had been established, and just he saw everything. And it's the last day. He's going to the airport. The missionary's taking him, and the missionary says, "We got to make one more stop." It's a true story. One more stop. There's somebody from the church. They've got a business, and they want you to see their business. It'll just take us a couple minutes. So they stop at this building. It's a bakery. And so they go inside, and the missionary introduces the pastor to the people, and they show him all around the bakery and whatever. And so as he's standing there and he's getting ready to leave now, he looks over, and he sees this little girl. Now, if you've ever been around a bakery, you'll know that they'll many times have a big window so they can display their stuff. Because you look at that and you say, boy, I'd like to have one of those Long Johns, or I'd like to have one of those cherry whatever. I mean, you see all that bakery stuff and you just forget your diet and you think, I got to. And then, boy, you can smell bread baking and you talk. I mean, you're drawn to it. Are you with me? And he's right in the midst of that. And here this little girl has come down the street and she has looked in the window. And as she's looking in the window, she can see all of these things. She's obviously poor. She's ragged. And she gets up close to that window, just like maybe you did as a child in some situation, some setting. And she gets up close. And finally, she gets up so close, her little nose is just right against the glass. He sees her, and she falls asleep. True story. Just standing there, this little girl, face against the glass, thinking about all those things that she's seeing in there. He takes a picture. It's time to go. They get in the car. They go to the airport. He comes back to America. He makes slides to show his church about his trip. So as he's showing the slides, they come to that particular one, and he shows the picture, tells the story just like I told it to you. And before he can go on to the next slide, somebody in the church just hollers out, "Preacher, what'd you do?" And he thought to himself, I could have taken the change in my pocket, and I could have bought that little girl all she could eat. And I didn't do anything. Now, people, I get around to churches. I've been around long enough. I can remember when churches, Independent Baptist, it wasn't like it was today. If we got to go to McDonald's, I'm serious. Some of you may remember that. If we got to go to McDonald's, we thought that was great. If we could meet in a storefront, rent a building, we thought that was great. Boy, it's different now. We have opportunity. Oh, there's so much more than we can do. Come on now. There's so much more that I can do. God's been speaking to my heart. I'm here in your conference. God's speaking to my heart. So much more. I talked to my wife about it this morning before we came. What more? But here's what Jesus tells us to do. And all of us can do it. There isn't anybody in this building that can't do what Jesus said to do. Pray. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Get involved. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. Now, as soon as you start praying, don't be surprised if He puts His finger on you and says, I want you to go, because God does that many times. But then again, He may keep you praying. God, would you send somebody? Get you a map. You can get them real cheap. Get you a map. They got them at Walmart, and you can spread it out on your coffee table there in the house, or and just pick out a country and just talk to God. Yes. Pray 10. There's only 10 missionaries and 115 million people. They need laborers. The fields are white unto harvest. Oh, our brother Aaron here could tell you place after place after place after place after place after place. Pray for missionaries. He's one going. They need 25 each one. We got five places right now in Rwanda. I could take you to tomorrow. We get on the airplane tomorrow, and I can take you to one of those towns, and I can match you up with a Rondi's man that will help you, and you can start evangelizing and telling people about the Lord, and they can get saved, and a church can be planted. Pray, Jesus said. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray. He said that with compassion. He saw the need and he said with compassion, pray. Oh. Now, the question I told you last night, all the messages will be dealing with response. Here it is. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do? We're going to pray. Amen? How about it? Why don't we just come pray right now?